Welcome to Basic Binges on the Nom Talk Network, everyone. It's showtime, a-holes, because today we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I am so excited to be here today. I've got here a host, a set of Guardians with me today, because, guys, we all got to fly away together one last time into the forever, okay? Now, this is the concluding chapter of what I consider to be James Gunn's magnum opus, this trilogy. We'll see how he does with DC. I think he's going to do amazing things there, but we'll forever have the Guardians, and we love that. But since I can't do this alone, I've got here just a stellar group of people with me, just my favorite Guardians themselves. Jordan Orozco, Jen Athey, and of course, Yasmeen Dula. How is everyone doing? I'll go around the room, just like have everyone do intros. Jen, do you want to start?
You got all the J's on board today. I like it.
Yes!
Hi, I'm Jen Athey, and I am, gosh, I'm so overwhelmed by this movie emotionally, I don't even know who I am anymore. I went and saw it for the third time last night, so yeah, I'm very happy to be here discussing this movie, and it's hit my top 10 for Marvel movies. And I'm happy to be here with my buddy Mike, my fellow Avenger. I'm the California commander of the West Coast Avengers for the Avengers Initiative cosplay group, and happy to be back with Jordan and to be here with the first time for Jasmine.
Love it. Thank you, Jen. Jasmine, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey guys, I'm Jasmine. I go by Jasmine Joestar online. This movie is, it was an awesome Guardians movie, and I'm very excited to get into it with you guys. And I'm like, I love Rocket so much, and so the direction this movie went is amazing for me. And yeah, I content creator, cosplayer, host, and yeah, let's get into it. I'm excited.
I love it. By the way, for Jen and Jasmine, since we just did your intros, are you guys eating or drinking anything right now?
I have water in my cool fizzy milk fizz sipper, and then I have some sushi and some chow mein that my cat has not let me eat yet, so I'm hopefully gonna get to that.
Very cool. Jasmine, how about you?
I will go bring food. My mom just made dinner and it smells so good, so I will bring a plate in.
you must bring in food, and you must, yes, share it with us from across the internet.
All right,
thank you very much for that. And of course, last but not least, Jordan Orozco, how are you, sir? It's always a pleasure. I love doing these things with you. How are you? Do you want to do an intro, and what are you eating?
Oh my gosh. Yes, 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 and yes. It's good to see you all, Jen, Mike, and Jasmine, first time. It's so good to be here and to do this thing. And I saw this last night for this. So yeah, I had some mom's homemade cooking. I already had it was like a tostada with some beans, cheese, lettuce, tomato, all the wonderful mix-ins. And I was like, if I don't eat now, it's not going to happen. So I had some earlier. Of course, I have my out of this world galactic Mai Tai, as usual. So I'm just like sipping on it. But yeah, I'm excited to get into this. I think I have like the lowest score out of everybody on this for several reasons. And we will get into that. But I love how your Rocket is just like sipping on some shit over there.
And sipping on the Milky Fizz, because that's what he does. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. No, like I'm with Jazz. This freaking film had me in tears three times. Like I was sitting there and I was like, why am I getting teary? And then I was like, oh. So I'm excited to talk about this.
I'm very excited to talk about it and to get in with it with you guys. So I'm going to put Rocket down because I don't have free hands right now. And I think I work better when I do have free hands. Anyways, so I am sipping. As you guys know, I'm Mike Nalo. I'm hosting this thing. And I love Marvel so much. And that's why I had to beg Steph to let me do this one. I am sipping on my Milky Fizz as well. I actually made a banana blueberry smoothie, put a little bit of Sprite in there for the fizz, and then topped it off with a little bit of almond milk and a dash of sugar just to make it a little bit sweeter. So it's kind that's of tastes like Fruity Pebbles, Fruity Pebbles soda. It's kind of odd. I don't know why I did this, but whatever, I like sugar, so I'm going to eat it.
Okay, you're fancy. We get it. We get it, Mike. We get it.
You said fancy. I think you meant diabetic. Anyways, that being said, we are not alone, guys. We've got some fellow Guardians on the chat here right now, and we love you guys for joining. Thank you so much for joining. We've got Katie Tidwell on the chat, who we love very much. Hey, Katie, how are you? We've got Andy on the chat. Hey, Andy, thank you very much for saying I look fly in my dope ass, you know, Guardians uniform. And of course, our good friend Q, which no show would be complete without. We love you, Q. Thank you for your support, buddy.
Absolutely.
And just to remind everyone, Weya Paints redeemed sing mode. So we are going to have to sing right out of the gate. Can we just sing a Guardian song? I feel like that would make things so much better. I don't know. Maybe if they allow us to do that, then that would be great. But let's get into this. Yes. So I hate this. I don't know. We should all just start singing Guardian songs. But that being said, I love this movie. I hope everyone who saw it loved it too, but it's okay if you didn't as well. And we will get into the heart of the matter. That being said, we should go around and say what our popcorn score is for this thing. Am I even singing? Is this just, this is not singing.
Oh my God. It really
sounds
your
like
own
a freaking
people.
Canadian.
Oh my God. You're terrible.
It's terrible.
Talk Network.
It's really bad. I'm so sorry guys that are watching. This is what happens when you redeem sing mode. You just get this for like 5 minutes. Anyways, I know that my time's not over. So, that being said, my popcorn score for this one is 4.5 out of 5 popcorns. I love this movie to death, and I gave it an A on the Nerds of Color review that I wrote. So 4.5, probably my favorite Guardians movie ever. I'm going to pass it to Jen because I don't want to sing anymore. But Jen, what is your popcorn score?
Hey, I gave this movie 4 popcorn buckets because I loved it.
How the hell did I just do this? Fucking stupid. Sorry.
I'm a Guardians fan, I guess. Mike.
Oh my God, Mike.
Big fan.
I listened to the soundtrack for 12 hours yesterday. Jordan, I'm going to pass it to you now because I'm out of words. Sorry.
5 out of 5 popcorn buckets for Jen. Thank you. That was bravo. Jordan, you're going to have to follow. I don't know what you're going to do. Give us like some T-Swift.
Oh no, because it opened with radio.
Jordan, I'll set you up, buddy. I'll set you up.
Go.
Background music.
What is your popcorn score, Jordan Araska? Oh, tell us your popcorn score. I don't know. Whatever. Fuck it. I was trying to do Dog Days. It sounded like shit.
It sounded like
dog shit. So sorry. It was dog
shit. Here we go. Okay. My popcorn bucket score is 3.5 out of 5. Because I have problems with this movie. And I will get into this. The Dog Days are coming because Cosmo was a female and I love the gender swapping. Oh,
god damn it, that was good shit. Thank you. Well done.
It's no longer Florence in the Machine, it's Jordan in the Machine. So thank
take that. Yeah. Very nicely done.
That was a really good call to use that song. Anyone who watched the movie can attest to that.
Yeah,
100%.
And Yasmin, Jasmine, what is your popcorn score? Or wait, do we still have to do sing song? It's not over yet, right?
Sing song.
Is it over? Is it not over?
So much.
Not yet.
God. Wait. I'll give you a beat. Ooga chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga.
God, I don't know the lyrics.
I can't fight this feeling.
Yeah.
What is your popcorn?
4 out of 5. Do, 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 do. And you might wonder why. Well, you'll find out in the rest of the show.
Period.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody. I wasn't ready for you.
I mean, I was the worst, trust me. So you did fine. But I think, yeah, we definitely have to give it to Jordan for winning the sing song competition for that one. That was really well done. You guys didn't even know what the hell I was singing. That's how bad I am. Anyways, but yes, hopefully, you know, Wire Pants, you enjoyed that. But that being said, yeah, no, I love this movie, guys. I think 4.5, 3.5. We're all in paints. Sorry, did I say pants? I'm so sorry. Paints.
Take a struggle here, Mike. Yeah. Not singing. Not
we are really. Not starting this off on the right foot.
A man has feelings.
Anyways, yes. That being said. Yeah, no, I love this movie. I think it puts us through the emotional ringer. I think what James Gunn did, the character arcs for every single one of the Guardians is earned. Everything feels earned. There's nothing in this movie that doesn't feel like it just came out of left field. And that's one of the reasons why I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Rocket is also my favorite guardian of all time, so having a lot of the narrative revolve around him, and also have everyone's character arcs be a reflection of the journey that Rocket goes through here is actually incredibly important. I mean, Rocket confronting the High Evolutionary is kind of what gets Peter to start to confront his past, Mantis to figure out who she is, Rocket finds out who he is. You know, he's a raccoon in this, and it yields one of the best, most clapworthy moments in the movie, I think. But that's why I love this. Plus, it's funny. The music's awesome. You know, everything about this movie I love. But I want to hear what you guys think. Jasmine, I'm going to start with you. Overall thoughts in addition to your popcorn rating.
Before
you don't have to sing.
Spoilers or no spoilers?
Spoilers. Oh, by the way, yes, guys who are watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair warning, if you have not seen the movie, definitely we're going to dive into some heavy spoilers here. I really hope everyone did see the movie. If not, pause this, come back to it if you want. But if you just don't care to, because we're fun, we're so much more fun than any movie you'll ever see, yeah, enjoy too.
Yeah, sure.
Your call. Anyways, sorry about that, Jasmine.
No, you're fine. I just want to make sure I don't want to hurt anybody. Okay, so I'm a 4 out of 5.
Yep.
For the first time, so there's many points. I'm going to do it fast. One, we don't have a setup for a villain, which is like the constant thing that Marvel's been doing lately. So I'm so glad it's a refreshing takeaway, because that's been people's constant criticisms, like the constant like time variant situation setup. And I'm just like, I'm so tired. And for the first time, we get a villain that is on par to Thanos. Like, I'm like shaking in my boots. This was a scary villain. Like, legitimately, when he was like infuriated, I was like concerned, and I was very worried. I was at the edge of my seat the whole time. I really do love animals. I think anybody, I'm not like a, you know, like the cat lady in that one Netflix show. What was her name? With the Tiger King, like that. The Tiger
Carol Baskin.
Carol
Baskin. I'm not on her level. I love animals. And I love raccoons. I'm like the raccoon friend, like through and through, for like in my world, in my community. But yeah, so we have a real villain. It's not a setup. It keeps you at the edge of your seat. We really get a full circle moment, and Mike, you touched on it. Like, we had serious character development for every character. Not a single Guardian was left out in terms of like the development they had, and to pack that all in a 2.5 hour movie is insane. And having Rocket's full circle moment, where like we start off with Rocket saying, I'm not a raccoon, and then he like has this closure of who he is, where he came from, and all the Guardians also look at him and understand that. And I think it was great in that term, and I'm happy that we didn't get what I thought they were setting it up for, because so much criticism comes from Marvel because it's now under Disney, that we didn't have that Disney ending where like Star-Lord got Gamora, and she still went on her own path. And I was like, thank you. This is what I needed. I didn't want that, because it's a different Gamora, and it would have been so easy to give that satisfaction, but I didn't want that. I wanted realness, and it gave it to us. And so Guardians gets my 4 out of 5. I feel like it could have packed more of a punch. Like, I love the fights. Dude, that camera angle fight scene with every single one of them.
The No Sleep Till Brooklyn site. Yeah,
so fight. I was like, that is one of the best fight scenes.
Yes.
But the animal, as real as it is with the animals, what happened really hurt me. And so I was very, I wish I kind of knew about that going into the movie, to be careful. But for that, 4 out of 5, solid watch. And to me, an excellent Guardians film and an excellent conclusion for now. For the galaxy saga.
I love all your thoughts there, Jasmine. and you touched on everything that I love about this movie too. It's kind of great. PETA actually praised this movie because the message is about appreciating all life and no life, whether it's a human or a kid or an animal, right. No life is negligible. You know, I mean, like they're all important. So I love that. And 100% about your assessment of Gamora and Peter. I love the way that this ends. Right. I think Gunn proves he's such a great writer of dialogue with just like the final lines with them, you know. I bet we were fun, and he's like you wouldn't believe. I'm like, oh, I love that so much. It's so wonderful. Really amazing thoughts. Jordan, what about you? You know, you're the one with the lowest score here. So I'm very curious to see your overall take on this movie, not in Sing Song, but, you know, even though if you want to do Sing Song, we'd love it.
Yeah, no, you know, I do that, and it's a little talent of mine, and then when it's done, it's done, you know, it's like a little one-off. So, you know, I have a lot to say about this film. It wasn't my favorite Guardians film. Sure. There were some characters, and I know you dressed up as one for the premiere, but like Adam Warlock, we could have done without him in this film. I feel like it was just an extra that they were trying to like bring in. To be fair, though, I am a huge fan of the Guardians of the Galaxy video game that I played and loved. And the way that they intertwine sort of like Guardian lore and the comics within that sort of game is perfect. And also, Peter Quill in the video game is hot as fuck. Like, you're playing as Peter Quill the entire time. And I'm like, no, like, you're daddy. And I'm like, no, I have to play with you. And then you get introduced to all these characters that you normally, that you've only sort of like been introduced like mildly into the movies. And so I'm not like sort of relating it to that because they're totally separate like things that have happened. But I feel like the video game did it way better in a sense of like, you know, if you're a gamer, you did like you understand like where it was going, and if you are a if you are a Guardian comic book fan, like that like fed you enough to where it was like, cool, I'm satiated. But then also like it was like there's room for more, right? I feel like this movie tried to do a little bit more with people that, let's say, only watched like, you know, Guardians 1 and 2, didn't see any of like the Avengers, and then they watch this and they're like, what the fuck is going on, right? And they're like, what, like there's all these things getting thrown at us, right? Like, I do feel like the place that it did really well is Rocket's story, right? Like, we probably have one of the best Marvel story arcs in the entire story, right? like we can talk about like Steve Rogers, we can talk about Iron Man, we can talk about Thor, right? And it's like, okay, great. Like, it's sad, right? Like, privileged, you're fine. Like, you'll get over it. Like, you did it. But with Rocket, it was like, it almost put it in a sense of like where it was like real. And it was like, this is exactly what happens in the world to like animals, right? Like, and then we like see the humanity of it with the children and like with what's going on, right? Like with child labor and all that stuff. So I feel like this movie did a really good job with sort of echoing sort of what's going on in the world. But I do also feel like with everybody's story arc, I feel like it was kind of like quick. Like, you had to catch on. Otherwise, like, you'd be like, what's going on? Like, everything was confusing, right? Like, for certain characters, right? Gamora pissed me off half the time because I'm just like, just admit that like Peter Quill is cool. Like, just admit that like Peter is like awesome. And I'm sitting there and she's like, rah! And then like towards the end, I was like, great. But you're right. And I do agree with yours and Jasmine's point where it's like, it was enough to where it was like, we know that they click, but it was not enough to the point where it was just like, well, you're not going to give us that like ending. And I was happy with it. I was totally fine with it.
I was very happy with it.
No, absolutely. And you know, we get that sort of fulfillment with everybody's sort of character going to where they need to go, you know, towards the end of the film. And which is why, you know, I love the Florence and the Machine reference. And I love the fact that this movie, it's like every Guardians movie reaches every decade. And then we like get into the 2000s with the Florence and the Machine reference, right? And I love how these movies are so musically entwined with our culture and with like what kind of like music, you know, we have or have not listened to. So I thought overall it was an okay film. It wasn't my favorite, right? But it was, I still had fun watching it.
Can we did anybody else get shivers when they saw the iPod playlist go down to 90s? I got so excited when I saw that. I was like, 90s, and like, I think they had 00s too. I don't know what we're calling 00s. I'm not sure if they had it, but I saw 90s and I'm like, and I was like trying to guess what the song was going to be. But Florence Machine is not 90s. I think it's past that. It's 2000.
Yeah, it was 2000.
It's Y2K.
I was like, what can they? And then I started instantly in my head, started guessing what could be the final song. And I was like, it's going to be NSYNC or Spice Girls or like some boy band.
And they reference some 2000s, Zach. I mean, Phyla at the end in the post credits stinger is like, I love Britney Spears and I love Korn. You know,
yes. So it's like, yes,
yeah, right. So definitely 2000s. And as far as 90s songs go, you had some really wonderful 90s bangers. You had In the Meantime.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the most aesthetically gorgeous scenes, I think, in the entire movie, where they're on the Orgo Corp planet and in the colorful spacesuits just bouncing around. Brilliantly done. So yeah, you're right, Jordan. I mean, they're touching on all of these different decades, and kind of bring us, you know, all up to speed to the modern era of music, which I thought was really interesting. Additionally, Jordan, I mean, like, your point about the video game is phenomenal. You know, I mean, like, and this is where it gets into really just being subjective about things. Like, I love the video game. I think it's a great one, but for you know, all intents and purposes, what I know about the Guardians, since I didn't get, this is one of the few comics I didn't get into as a kid, you know, what I know about the Guardians goes back to the 2014 original movie, and following these characters up to now, that's why this one hit me a little harder, was because I know these characters, I love these characters, we've had been with these characters for a while. But your point about if the video game resonated with you even better, then you might have different opinions when you see this, and it's kind of a different story than what the video game does. So it's really valid and really terrific points. Jen, I want to kick it to you now, and just, you know, you gave it 4 out of 5 as well. Overall thoughts, and just kind of going into, you know, your general point of view of the movie.
I think the best way I can describe it, so my son is seeing it Friday. He hasn't seen it yet, and he and I always talk movies. And he goes, I'm just worried this film is going to wreck me. And I said, it is. This film is going to tear you apart. I said, but it's going to put you back together again at the end. You're still going to be a little, you're going to be a little different though. I said, it's, you're just going to have
a raccoon.
You're like a raccoon. Surgery table. Yeah. There were a couple people in my life I had to warn about the content of that with the animals, because I know my boyfriend had a really visceral reaction to Rocket with the oxygen mask, because our cat has asthma and has to get breathing treatments. He just projected Charlie on that. And I was like, that's a bit dramatic, but okay. For some reason, I mean, I love animals, and it was very hard for me to get through that, but I was able to kind of separate and like, okay, these are computer generated but I think, man, this movie hit me in the feels just like over and over and over again. It was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful ending. And I will never doubt James Gunn as a storyteller. I never did, but this was, wrapping up a trilogy like this is hard. There's a lot of characters. Mm-hmm. And to wrap up all of these stories, even though some of them aren't done, but to bring them to a stopping point at least, or a place where, you know, like, we're pausing. Mantis is going to go off on her own. We've got some closure for some people. I loved that little end dialogue with Gamora and Peter. You know, that was just, she finally was at least not being a dick to him. You know, she finally was at least softening a little and realized maybe I don't need to be such a jerk. And she was back with her newfound family. I love his take on a found family because, you know, a lot of people are lucky enough to have a wonderful biological family. And some people have a found family. I have some wonderful biological family members, not everybody. My sister's great and her family, but I have a great found family also. And so this movie really spoke to me in that way. And it was just to see them go through these ups and downs that a family would go through and to stick together through all of it. I don't know. A lot of that just really spoke to me. And I'm a sap anyway. I cried like so much. Full body sobs at the end scene, you know, the reunion. Yeah. We haven't even gotten there yet, but full body, my whole body was shaking. The guy behind me, the first time we saw it at the premiere, was like, I don't even know who it was. He was patting me on the shoulder. Some stranger was just like, oh, Jesus, she's going to like die or something, you know, but as I was shaking, terrible. I was having a physical reaction to this particular scene, but I love the music too. There's very few projects where the music is pitch perfect. Pardon the pun. Obviously us singing in the podcast is not one of them, but his selection of music were amazing.
I thought it was great.
For all three of these movies, he did a beautiful job. And then ending the credits with the same song that it started with was just so beautiful. You know, the only other projects I can think of with such beautiful, perfect music, and Mike knows what I'm going to say, it's Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
True.
Are the only two other things that have such perfect music choices. So that's the level we're at. No, it was number one is still my most watchable.
Sure.
Number two has my favorite scene. But this is my favorite of the three movies. It's just not going to be my most rewatchable because it's a little dark for that.
Yeah.
But the Yondu with the arrow set to come a little closer. That's my all-time favorite scene out of all three movies. So, but this one is my favorite, I think, even though I only gave it four.
I have a question for Jen.
Yeah.
I think, did anybody here watch it more than once?
I did three times.
Okay. I want to know if rewatching made a difference for you when you watched it a second or a third time, if something else popped up, because obviously the underlying issue is animal cruelty,
right?
Testing and experimenting, so watching it the first time, it's a shock to the system, I believe.
Yes.
So maybe the second time you're able to process everything else happening in the film outside of that a little better. So
yes.
Did you spot anything? Both you and Mike. I'm sorry, I'm Mike. I just looked at the interview.
No, it's totally fine.
I watched Marvel movies twice for this reason, because first time it's too much sometimes.
Yeah.
So second time's kind of absorb. But yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know about Mike, but you know, he and I being at the premiere, that's a very overwhelming thing to begin with. So by the time you see the movie, you're just like, eh.
Oh, you watched both of you watched it at the premiere. Oh yeah, that's
yeah. So I was just like,
overstimulated to the max.
If you saw, you know, the end credit scene where he's eating the cereal, I completely missed the headline on the newspaper. Abduction, Kevin Bacon tells all.
Yeah.
You know, I missed that Steamy was the guy from the holiday special, and that the holiday special is probably the one thing that leads the most into this movie, honestly. I missed a few little things. I picked up on some more nuances.
Any Easter eggs, maybe something that you spotted that was just like, oh.
Well, it occurred to me that the song at the end is the song from the first movie. I completely spaced on that. I'm like, oh, this is a cool song.
The first time you're like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. The first time I'm like, can I go to bed now? I'm so tired. I've been up since 5 a.m. and I'm green. but yeah, I think I was able to sit back and digest more of the dialogue, kind of pick up just on more of his wordplay. Yeah. You know, he's really clever with the word and the wording, and just some of the really Rocket? The best dialogue. James Gunn and his writing.
James Gunn's writing.
Yeah. But the dialogue with Lila, this is the line that hit me the most when Lila and Rocket, and she's hugging him and she says, "It's been your story all along." Okay, first off, I started sobbing out loud in public between two strangers last night. So I'm proud of that. But little things like that, where I think it has been Rocket's story all along, because that's what he brought us to, right? It wasn't about Peter or any of these other people. They were just to get us there. So I felt like I got a deeper appreciation for pieces of the story that maybe we were led to believe were side stories. That maybe that was the story all along. And I'm like, oh God, it was. And he did have the most development, and he came the longest way, and I wanted to hug him so bad, and I wish he was a person.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
He is. He's Bradley
he
Cooper.
Is. And I was I know he is a person.
Him.
I know Bradley Cooper
I would
is a person.
Totally hug him.
Yeah.
I would hug
He's a
raccoon
huggable guy.
too. Yeah.
Just don't get rabies.
Good advice.
Hug a raccoon. Don't hug raccoons, children. You'll get rabies. No.
I was gonna go find some outside. Sorry. Okay.
No. From my perspective, so I'm not a crier at movies the first time I watch them. Okay. Like I absorb my digest them, all of that. The second and third times I watched the movies, I did cry. And cried. I cry specifically in this movie. There's three scenes that really make me cry. One of them is the Rocket Lila scene, the Your Story All Along scene that, as Jen was alluding to. The second is a very subtle scene, but it actually emphasizes, in my opinion, one of the best character development and one of the most brilliant character arcs in all of the MCU. When Nebula first hears Rocket's voice over the intercom, and she's just like overwhelmed with emotion, and she's like, oh my God, Rocket, and she stops and she breaks down almost. It hits me so hard because we as fans know that context. They were the last ones left when everybody got snapped out by Thanos. Mm-hmm. They had 5 years together. So when she is outright defending him so passionately from Gamora, who's like, who cares about this guy? And she's like, no, we are not, we're doing everything we can to save him, basically. It hit me, but then the moment that she hears his voice and she starts breaking down, it's such a beautiful moment and beautiful scene. And it shows you really where Nebula, how far Nebula has gone from the first time that we saw her to now. And you know what? It's all believable. It all tracks. It's not a 180 with her character. It gradually gets there. And again, it feels earned. Which leads me to, I think, the third moment that kind of makes me cry. And it is the Dog Days moment, because, you have all of these characters at the very end in full jubilation, cathartically screaming in happiness. And it's deserved because of how much shit they've been through their entire lives. All of them had like the worst stories in the world. Seeing Nebula actually smiling and screaming in joy because she found a family after being tortured her entire life, and having everybody have that happy ending where nobody's dead, thank God, but it is time for them to move on from just this family. Thinking about all of that kind of overwhelmed me on repeat viewings and just made me kind of cry. And honestly, it just speaks to, as Jen, you were kind of alluding to, the magic of James Gunn's writing. Because at the end of the day, there is, I arguably will say, defend this like with my dying breath, there is no filmmaker out there that is better at happy sad, I think, than James Gunn. Making you smile but also making you weep at the same time. And I think repeat viewings with his movies always make me cry, whether it's the first Guardians movie, whether it's Suicide Squad, whether it's this, especially with this.
Had to bring up Gamora. Thanks for that, by the way.
I'm sorry.
I know. I'm in there with you.
Well, the Dog Days scene, because I love that song. My kids used to be like, stop playing this song over and over.
Yeah.
I was, the first time I saw it, I was dancing in my seat in the theater, but I was bawling my eyes out. And then when Drax started dancing, I was done. I lost it.
The floodgates.
That line, everyone, by the way, you weren't born to be a destroyer. You were born to be a dad. Oh my God. Like, it just makes me, I'm sorry.
He's like, James Gunn was like, wait, I've already got the knife in there. So just a little more.
Yeah.
For Jordan and Jasmine, I mean, like, you guys heard where we were crying. I mean, what set you guys off? Like, I want to know, like, was there anything in particular that was just like the rock thrown at the glass house that just broke you, you know?
Go for it, Jordan.
So my weakness in anything, and this is we're getting super vulnerable right now, is when there's like a
Safe space.
strong when there's like a strong male character that just breaks down, right? So
Yeah.
like with Law and Order SVU, when fucking Elliot just breaks down and starts crying over something,
That's my favorite show. Oh my God, Jordan.
death. I
Yeah.
literally, and so here's the thing, that show's been on for like what, 20 years?
Yes.
We caught up with, like, me and my mom, we just watched Law and Order SVU the whole time. And I'm new to it. I'm like, fuck this show. Like, what is it about? We're watching it. It's during quarantine. I'm sitting on my couch. Elliot starts bawling, right? Because his like wife got like hurt or something like that. I immediately just fucking Rainforest Cafe tears. Rainforest Cafe, just crying, right? So my like, of course I'm crying because Rocket, right? Like known beloved, right? Like we're seeing the moment that he's like he's talking in a little baby voice and he's like doing that, so I'm like falling. But when Drax started crying when Mantis was leaving, I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom, I have to pee because I'm so sad that I'm like peeing, like it, everything is coming out. Like when Drax started crying, I was like, oh hell no. And we know that's Dave Bautista, and I love Dave Bautista. He's a fucking LGBTQ advocate. Like, fuck, like, but Kim, I was just like, oh my God. I was like, I can't. I was like, I gotta go. I was like, I gotta get to the end of the film, but I gotta go. My friends were like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, what's wrong with you? Like, what's wrong with you? You don't have any feelings. But so Dave Bautista, that was the camel, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But it was definitely when Rocket saw the little baby raccoons when he like goes
Oh,
in,
yeah.
and I was like, I love raccoons. Like the last time I tried to touch a raccoon, they tried to give me rabies, but I love little baby raccoons. No, I swear to
Don't
God,
touch
there
them.
was a little raccoon out here in my courtyard, and I was like, you guys are so cute. And I was like, come on, I'll help you. And I was like, Mah! And I was like, oh, you're an asshole. But the little baby ones, I'm like, y'all are just so cute. And then the fact that like they just like clumped up and like was like all around Raccoon before the before fucking
Gold showed up.
asshole just yeah
Yeah.
he's
Higher
like
evolutionary.
argh.
Yeah.
I was just I was crying. Like there was definitely three scenes where I was just like I was in, and you're I don't cry at movies. I'm like you. I'm like like cool, it's sad, but didn't cry. Like I didn't cry at I didn't cry at a lot, but this one I was like, why? So I think those were the scenes that, made me sort of give it up.
Yeah.
Jasmine?
I didn't cry at all, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I usually do. I do. I'm not this incredible badass. There were times where I really almost cried, but like I think Jordan, you said it was very quick. Like there was a lot that they packed in that time that I didn't have the time to like cry. You know, the way that Iron Man dies. Sorry, spoiler, I guess, for Endgame. I mean, I don't know if you're here.
Although,
If
if
you
you
haven't
don't
seen
know that
it,
by
not for
now, what are you doing,
years. It's
guys?
okay. Yeah, we know
So,
that. To me, it was just like, yo, that was an emotional roller coaster. And the whole time I'm on the edge of my seat, just praying nobody dies. And they'll just praying the entire time. I'm like, please don't let anybody die. And then even when somebody gets close to it and like Drax was getting beat up, I'm like, please don't let it be Drax. When Groot got beheaded, I'm like, please don't let it be Groot. And it was just me the whole fucking time, like preparing myself to like lose my like someone's gonna die, someone's gonna die, someone has to die. It's Guardians 3. The way the advertising was set up for it, I had to stop watching that. Like all the like little things that Marvel was posting and James Gunn, I was like, I'm done. Like this week, I'm not watching a single thing you guys are putting until because Marvel has the tendency to be a little spoilerish after the premiere with their advertising. So I was like, I'm not gonna even look at it. But every time I would take a glance, it was very much leading in a dark direction. And I think everybody went into this movie thinking Rocket was gonna be done. And the whole time I'm like holding on. So no, but I'm sure if I watch it a second or third time, now that I know what the outcome is, I can allow that
allow that to process, you know, like the fact that I'm not holding on, you know, for like literally gripping my chair, like at the edge of my seat. Now I can actually enjoy
process it. Yeah.
The movie entertainment wise, not to say it wasn't enjoyable the first time. It was just a lot to take in a good way. So, I was like yelling and I almost got up in my chair. When they had that fight scene, I'm like, we haven't had a solid fight scene, in my opinion, in the Marvel movies since the Endgame final scene. And there's only one thing, and I think everybody here can agree to, there's only one thing that would got everybody out of their seats at that time, and it was Captain America grabbing Mjolnir. And so that I was standing up. I don't care. Like someone in church, I was like, let's go. But then that fight scene had me for, I think that was like chef's kiss, James Gunn, you have.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
It's definitely an all-timer. And
I will update you guys when I cry. The second one.
We all know it's bullshit, Jasmine. We know that you're like the biggest badass in the world. And your tear was about to sneak out and you just sucked it back in, you know?
I'm like, oh, and then something else happened. I'm like, oh, okay. We're okay.
I cried enough for you, Mike, Jordan, and everybody in the chat. It's fine. Trust me.
100%. Speaking of everyone in the chat, if you guys are okay with it, I'd love to pause just really quickly just to catch up on some of the comments, because we actually have a really active and wonderful chat section here. And I feel bad.
Somebody
I'm missing
put up a
so
poll.
Many. Yeah, somebody did put a poll. I got the poll message, and I wanted to get everyone's thoughts, especially since the person who redeemed it, which was Q-Ball, wanted to know who would you rather hang out with, Han and Chewie or Rocket and Groot? I voted for Rocket and Groot, but everybody else, what do you think?
Rocket and Groot.
Rocket and Groot.
They're the Han and Chewie of our generation, I feel like, you know. So Rocket and Groot, you know. Yeah. I, not any disrespect to Han and Chewie, but yeah.
That's three for Rocket and Groot. Jordan?
Okay, wait. I have caveats. I would definitely hang out with Rocket and Groot if I could understand Groot, first of all, if I spoke Groot.
You can now.
I mean,
you can
now. I can, apparently. But you know what? Han and Chewie, man. Like, I grew up with them, you know? And look, I get Han's dead. Like, we get that. But, like, pre-Han death? Fuck yeah. Like, we'd go on so many space adventures. But you know what? You know what? You know what?
I thought you liked raccoons.
I do, but I feel like I'd have more fun with Rocket and Groot because they like to drink. So I'm like, you know what?
You'd also be safer with Rocket and Groot because Han and Chewie just get their asses kicked all the time. They're more useless than Rocket and Groot.
And Bonahide said it in the chat. They would trade you for space loot. Like, you gotta go. We gotta get our home back.
Like, Chewie could do some damage, but not as much damage as Groot can. Come on.
Oh, man. Yeah. Groot's fuck these people up.
Yeah, and Rocket can build things just from scraps of metal. And
that was wild. I was like,
Han doesn't do anything. So I love Han. He's my favorite, but come on.
He's like, great. Yeah.
I also just want to give a shout out to a couple of folks. Banahide, who's on the call. We have not had the pleasure of having you in the chat before. So welcome to Basic Binges group therapy session. This is pretty much more or less how these all go. We just talk about our feelings and cry.
Yes, pretty much. And drink. Yeah.
Yeah, and eat and drink. But we hope you're enjoying, because we'd love to have you for more of these. We also have Q-Ball Jordan letting you know my guilty pleasure is doing Pussycat Dolls, Don'tcha for karaoke. Awesome. Very cool and good to know. Stream Elements, thank you for following Mr. Arkham 8. And Mr. Arkham gave a shout out to you, Jasmine, just saying that he's your fan, or she, but I'm pretty sure it's he because it's Mr. Arkham. But that being said, I know that there's a lot of really awesome comments here, guys, and I'm sorry that we probably won't be able to get to all of them. Katie, by the way, you said there wasn't a better song for that moment, period. I think you're referring to Dog Days of Summer. 100% agreed with that. If that is the one that you're doing, if not, then we'd love to know which one. And then Drax gets to redeem himself from being a simpleton to a father. Very true. And you know, Drax isn't as much of a simpleton as everybody kind of thinks he is. He knows what he's doing, but he's just he is a moron. But so are the rest of the Guardians. Let's be honest. I mean, like they're there to pick names and take ass. So
I feel like Drax is like a
simple guy, simple man.
Excuse me, men. I'm gonna like tap into that because I'm a male and I can say this. But I feel like Drax is like the epitome of like the male persona, where it's like they're like, I'm buff, I can do anything, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Like, I don't know shit. And then people automatically assume that you're just dumb as fuck, right? And in reality, Drax is actually smart in a lot of ways that like some of the Guardians are like afraid to act in, you know what I mean? And I feel like he gets redemption in this film where it's like, we think he's just the muscle to the Guardians when in reality, like he's like legitimately a 100% protector, right? And it's not the fact that he's a male or identifies as a male in this, right? It's the fact that like, when it came down to it, talking to kids and talking in their language, he was just like, yeah, you never asked, but you know what? Like, I'm here to protect them and it's fine. Like, I'm going to do what I need to do in order for them to feel safe and sound. And then they were like, cool, we love you, Drax, right? And I just, it was,
He's a dad.
And
he's
the
an
irony
adult,
of him
I love
being called the destroyer, but he's a protector more than a destroyer, you know?
Right.
So yeah.
I kind of love that. There was also just a comment here, which kind of harkens back to something that you said, Jasmine, which was the Andy said the film kept me in suspense because of the uncertainty that any of these characters will make would make it through to the end. And I felt like, especially kind of jumping off of what you said too, Jasmine, with all the trailers, with all of the stuff that we were hearing about who was going to die and everything like that, I felt like that was James Gunn twisting his mustache, going like, so we're going to. Fake you out with Groot, and then we're gonna fake you out with Drax, and then fake you out with Nebula, and we're faking you out with Rocket. All these near death experiences. We're definitely faking you out with Peter, by showing skinny Chris Pratt, and then Parks and Rec Chris Pratt within a moment, you know, just like exploding his face.
Oh yeah, I was like, this is it. It's him.
He's done.
Yeah. I thought. Yeah, right. I think everybody thought he was done. Right. But then you have the birth of Adam scene, you know, where Adam Warlock saves him, and then
we did get
hugs
one death, right? Sorry, Adam Warlock's mom. No,
respect. Oh well.
Aisha. No one cared about her. I mean, like,
you know what James Gunn did in the marketing leading right up to the movie the last few days that was smart, because I think it was very intentional. Was he released the like the digital tests of the baby raccoons. Yeah. And I think that was very intentional, just to remind everybody, look how cute these computer generated animals are. So when you go into the movie, you have that little, these little cute animals in the back of your head. Okay. They're not real. They're not really getting hurt by this horrible creature in purple, you know, like
that. So
who he reminded me of? Yeah. Let's talk about him. Cause I have some thoughts on him.
Yeah. What did he remind you of, Jen?
So I'm a big Silence of the Lambs fan, and a couple of his tantrums reminded me of James Gunn from Silence of the Lambs when he starts and screaming at the kids at Rocket when he's screaming back at him right before basically Rocket tears his face off. He had that kind of, I don't know, he was a mix actually of a few characters from the Silence of the Lambs thing in my head, because he's that psycho, I don't know. He terrifies me. I'm scared of him. I'm afraid to close my eyes at night, and purple is no longer my favorite color. So he pretty much had an impact on me.
Absolutely.
Kang who? What? No, never heard of him. It's the High Evolutionary. That's who they need to bring in. Yeah.
Jordan or Jasmine, terrifying. Want to add?
Yeah.
Go for it, Jordan.
Oh, yeah, he was definitely giving, adult baby for me. I was like, get over it. I'm like, I don't, but also too, I think it was the first time when, I think it was a flashback, and he already had that sort of like unstableness that was happening with him. And I was like, something's not right with this dude. But he has people that are following him. But the only reason why they're following him is because he has power and he could kill them. But there's something not right, right? And I feel like that's definitely indicative of a lot of sort of people that are in these positions of power where you're like, something's not right with you, but we're still going to follow you. And I'm like, ooh, it's giving cult. Like, it's giving Jonestown. It's giving, like, Applewhite. Like, it's giving weird culty vibes, right? Where it's like,
yeah,
we know something's wrong with you, and it's not until the last minute where they're like, no, we're going to, like, fucking kill you because you're, like, stupid. But, like, it was definitely, I was like, shit. I wasn't scared. I was more fearful for the fact that, like, it had to be somebody like Rocket to be like, no, like, we're gonna rebel against this. Mm-hmm. And then, like, yeah, everybody around Rocket dies. And I'm like, that is exactly what happens, right? Like, with people that are in this position. I'm like, okay, so you're telling, you're telekinetic. That don't impress me much, like, the whole time. That was me the whole time. I'm like, great, like, you can throw me across the room, but, like, we have somebody that can, you know, grow shit. We have somebody that can, you know, so it was weird to me. But he definitely was, and I definitely agree with Jasmine, where it was like, this was the villain where it was like, it was a movie villain. It wasn't like an arc villain where it was like, oh, like, he's gonna last like 3 or 4 fucking Marvel. Like, I was like, no, I don't need that right now. And I feel like this was perfect. I feel like he played a perfect role. And it was good. Yeah.
I love how you mentioned kind of cultish vibes, because he had kind of a MAGA thing going on where a bunch of people would follow a man baby that would scream to the top of his lungs about dumb bullshit. Mm. So yeah, there you go. Mm.
He thought he was God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I can top that. Mike,
that was perfect. Jasmine, no.
I have one input. I am tired of the villain setup of I'm trying to better the world. This is now the third villain in a row we've had from Marvel, Thanos. And then we had, and I was very surprised because when he said that, I was like expecting Gamora or Nebula to say something regarding that, because that was their dad. Thanos is, if we forgot, Thanos is their dad. I really wanted them to like actually destroy him and be like, dealt with you, not again. And I wanted them to kind of like back up Rocket, you know, like a little girl power moment, you know. But that's because I'm cheesy. I'm tired of like the whole setup of like, that's Kang, that's Thanos, that's this guy. what's his official title,
the High Evolutionary or Kang the Conqueror, which
no
one?
no, this villain,
a High Evolutionary.
He is the High Evolutionary. So for me, it's just like I kind of want something else, you know, like for example, like Adam kind of was about to be it, which, by the way, I have a question for everybody. The animal that he has is eerily similar to the animal in Shang-Chi.
Blurp? Yes.
Except he has a face.
With the notable exception of having a face, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, but also the theme of the movie is evolution. Are those animals linked?
I think Blurp is probably more of just an alien, like because he came from he was with the Ravagers, right? So I don't think the High Evolutionary had an input on Blurp's creation. I think he's just an alien species out there, versus, let's say, the I guess they called them manimals or something like that on Counter Earth. Those were High Evolutionary experiments.
Boris, there we go. To me, I saw it, I'm like, Morris? Like, I'm like, wait, what? Because it's been a minute since Shang-Chi, but I'm like, they're very eerily similar for Marvel to pull that off twice.
He looked like he was from Star Wars to me.
He did.
I'm like, didn't I see you in Star Wars? Something?
Fun fact, Morris from Shang-Chi is actually based on a real, like, folklore creature from Chinese mythology. Hmm. I forgot the name. I'll look it up and I'll send it to you. But that is something that's more rooted in the mythological aspects of it. Blurp is just a strict James Gunn.
Right.
I'm going to create something cute and stupid looking, like.
With Cosmo.
Yeah, with
that's not a fight. And the baby raccoons, but Cosmo. Cosmo, I loved Cosmo. Yes. I love
Cosmo. Cosmo's wonderful. She's a good dog.
He's a very good dog.
Yeah. I know that we are running a little low on time, but I can't end this without asking, the legendary Star-Lord will return. How does everyone feel about this?
I want a 5-minute video of him mowing his grandpa's lawn. That's all. That's all I need. Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely.
That's funny.
Holding a little handheld fan. No.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Like,
I don't know how they're going to do that.
Star-Lord was okay, but it kind of like died out on me. Like, and I'm a big Rocket fan from the get go. I like raw characters like that. And then my second up favorite is Drax, because I love himbos, like hot bimbo men. Like, I'm like, yes, bring them on. That is my anime side showing. I don't know about the legendary Star-Lord, and I'm like trying to, like, you know, rack my brain. I'm like, how are they going to go through this and bring him back? And what about the rest of the Guardians? And how is this going to go over if they just bring Peter Quill and nobody else?
They didn't say Peter Quill.
They
said the legendary Star-Lord.
Okay, points made. So I will leave it at that. I have no thoughts there.
In the comics, Kitty Pryde actually ends up taking on the mantle of Star-Lord for a bit as well. So maybe.
Oh no, Katie in the chat's gonna need a new costume.
Katie's gonna need a new costume. Actually, it's a pretty easy one. It looks kind of like regular Star-Lord's costume, but it's
there we Kitty go. Pryde.
And
that would make a lot of sense, though, because I feel like Marvel is definitely trying to pull X-Men every single way, slowly but surely, into their films.
For sure.
And their TV shows. Big shout out to Ms. Marvel, like, playing the 90s X-Men show. Just loud and clear. Yep. Any rumors right there just died. I was like, yeah, X-Men are coming. Like, yes. Go for it, Jordan.
What's the question?
The legendary Star-Lord will return.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
post-credits scene. Yeah.
Yes. I'm definitely in the mood to see anyone but Chris Pratt return and see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, to see exactly. Yeah, and Jen's right. Jen, it said the legendary Star-Lord, right?
Yeah.
There are several, you know, people that have come back to do that. You know, we might see a Rocket edition of it, right? Like, since he's Captain now, right? Like, we might see something, right? And, you know, I think for me, I would like to see a more, because Adam Warlock was a pivotal character in this entire, like, in Guardians in general, right? Like, he was like this, like dumbass but robust, like, character who could basically take on anybody, right? Yeah. And, you know, went into sort of hiding for a long time, and then they had to find him and do all that stuff, and, you know, helped and did all that stuff. And he's basically like the antithesis of, you know, the actual Star-Lord, right? Where, like, Star-Lord's full of himself, but so is Adam Warlock. Adam Warlock's like, I can do whatever the fuck it. He's like, no, you can't. Like, you're stupid. And so I'd like to see that interaction more, right? Like, I'd like to see sort of, like, all of these things sort of tie together and see how, you know, things happen within that. But I'm glad they left it open to interpretation. Yeah. I'm glad they left it open to, this isn't, like, you know, the last Guardians, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the last James Gunn Guardian, right? But, like, this isn't the last, like, Guardian movie that could ever potentially be made. And so I feel like this is definitely an arc to a Marvel phase 147.
Somebody mentioned it, a Disney Plus series potentially as well.
Yeah.
Like, a what if, maybe, or something.
Yeah.
He left it open-ended where they could be reintegrated into something else. I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No. Which to your point, Jasmine, I just wanted to highlight TJ Buttlegs.
That's who said it. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. TJ is a pretty good comics opinion for sure. Yeah. He's like a little expert.
I think it would be cool if he got a Disney Plus series that's partially about him taking a younger member of his family that's a little at risk or edgy under his wing until that member eventually goes off in space as the new Star-Lord with Peter's blessing. It would be an interesting concept. So. Yeah. Thank you for redeeming the points and for the message, TJ. Also, I do agree, Jordan, to an extent, I'd love to see Adventures with Rocket's iteration of the Guardians, which, for those of you who don't know, the little girl, Phyla, is actually kind of the MCU version of Phyla Vell, who is the daughter of Mar-Vell from the comics, the original Captain Marvel. So there's a little bit of a connection there. I don't think they're going to connect the character with
that makes perfect sense because she looked like she had Marvel powers in the end
Absolutely.
Like, Marvel?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very, very possible that we'll see her again. And you know, I feel bad. We didn't get a chance to talk about Adam Warlock that much, but potentially new more adventures with him in the future for sure. I'm hoping. Oh my God, guys, I could talk about this all day. I could cry with you, laugh with you, and enjoy this all day, but I know that we're out of time. I want to give a huge shout out to all of you guys for watching us. And then, of course, to our wonderful and amazing panel who's been here today. I'm going to go round and let everyone just say their final thoughts, but also where everyone can find them. Jordan, I'll start with you. Where can everyone find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, CityStars13. Please friend request me, say hi, say do all that stuff. Recently got hired as a quizmaster to host trivia at bars and pubs around my area. Yes. So I'll let you know where that's going on so y'all can come. It's just like random. And so, yeah, it has to do with a lot. Final thoughts on the film. It's definitely worth a watch. I won't say... you know, go see it when you can. If you want to wait, you can definitely wait till it comes out on Disney Plus or, you know, streaming platforms. But definitely, it's definitely a good closer to the Guardians saga that's going on. So
wonderful. Well said, Jordan. Jen, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Instagram, do_as_Peggy_says, and you can see my cosplay adventures along with Mike and a couple people in the chat at California Avengers. We are the West Coast Avengers. And my final thoughts are, yeah, I'm gonna have to wait a while to watch this again. I'll probably wait till it's on Disney Plus. And then I'll just continue to cry like a little baby when he and his grandpa see each other. And that was the one that got me the most, honestly. But I think it was a good wrap up. I think Star-Lord's gonna be somebody else. I'd like to see Adam Warlock again, just cause Will Poulter, I mean, there's no end to the, hey, you got paid, you guys got paid jokes that we could be making. So, you know, it was a good wrap up and I'm looking forward to my son seeing it so I can chat with my other favorite movie guys about it. So yeah.
Love that.
I thought you were about to pick a favorite kid. I don't know how many you have. I was like, your favorite.
No, I have two kids and my son sees way more. My son has like rated 1,000 movies on Letterboxd. My daughter doesn't even know what Letterboxd is. So he's my favorite movie kid. She's my favorite Pokemon Go kid. Yes. Neither of them is watching, nice. So it's fine.
Nice recovery. It's the cat, though, that's really your favorite. I mean, we all know.
Not that. Right now, because he sure. just did okay. something really bad in the litter box. So he's not my favorite.
Boo. Boo. Hate when they do that shit.
No.
Literally.
Thank you for that, Jen. And Jasmine, where can everyone find you and final thoughts?
You can find me at Jasmine Joestar everywhere. The name is there. So it's spelled like that. Every social media platform. My final thoughts is, and I'm going to take my own advice. I really think that this is worth your watch. And if you can watch it twice, because a first watch is pretty intense and I think it needs a second watch. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to enjoy it if you are a Guardians, if you watch Guardians 1, even if you skip 2. And I actually didn't watch a holiday special. I am so sorry. I'm going to go watch it tonight.
Oh my God,
love
it.
It's so good. It's so good.
I haven't watched any holiday special. Like, I didn't do any Star Wars. I don't have an attachment to Christmas. I'm Muslim, so I just, like, skip over that stuff. And I really should watch it. But... anyway, I will watch it and then I will go watch it a second time and then I will assess as you guys have advised. But I think it's worth it. And I think it gives you, it felt good. It felt like I walked into the theater feeling good.
Yeah.
It was a roller coaster. So I felt like when you get off of it, you're like, where am I? But it was like that closure was very much needed and is something that we like rarely get in Marvel. And excellent movie. 4 out of 5 for me.
Excellent.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I love having all of you guys here. The Jays, they're the best. And you guys, I've been Mike Manalo. You can find me at TitledBullBoy182 on Twitter and Instagram, but also my work on the nerdsofcolor.org, whattowatch.com, and that's it all. I want to just tell you guys final thoughts. I love this movie so much. I love James Gunn so much. I love all of you guys watching so much. And in the words of Groot at the end of this movie, for my panel right here, all of the Jays, I love you guys. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for watching.
Oh, this way? And
yeah.
I know. What?
We'll talk to you guys again soon. All right. Bye.